We told you off the top of the show that the magic of Moorabbin will be honoured and brought back to life after the Victorian government today confirmed a $12 million commitment to return St Kilda Football Club to their famous ground, and their CEO has been good enough to join us, Matt Finnis. Afternoon, Matt.
Good afternoon, Brett. Hello, Rowan.
Yeah, we're going really well. Look, we know this has sort of been brewing in the background for quite some time. You've had tremendous support from the AFL, Kingston City Council, also the other bodies, which will be housed there at Moorabbin, the Southern Football League, South Metro Juniors, and now the Victorian government giving their tick as well. And I think we were mentioning, Matt, off the top that, you know, if there's one ground in Melbourne that needs a facelift, it is Moorabbin, and you're going to be going back there in a big way.
Yeah, no, you're right, Brett. We were down there this morning and it was a beautiful morning, but I don't think it was lost on anybody that the old stand's there and the facilities are certainly in a state of disrepair, which doesn't really respect the role that place has in the hearts and minds of Saints people.
So just with the logistics, Matt, when does the work start and when are we anticipating it'll be completed?
So we're in a design phase at the moment, Rowan, and that involves a whole lot of consultation because there's, as you identified at the outset, a whole range of different stakeholders involved. We hope to start construction in early to mid-2016, with a view to having that completed around the middle to the end of 2017.
And would St Kilda be able to train there whilst construction was going on, or will they have to sort of stay put at Seaford?
Yeah, no, it'll make it pretty hard, given the level of works that are going on. I mean, the actual oval itself is in pretty good nick and will continue to be, but it's the facilities around that you need if you're going to train, which just won't be there as we redevelop.
So what I guess a lot of people at this point are saying, well, this could have happened 5 years ago. What changed clearly politically, I mean, governments have changed and whatever, but what were the impediments to it happening 5 years ago that aren't there now?
Obviously I wasn't directly involved, but, from what I understand, there was various kind of interest groups around what was proposed at that time, which it just, with these things, you've got to have the plants align. And at the time, the club was in desperate need of, the facilities to be able to have a tilt at the premierships that it was aiming for, and that just wasn't forthcoming. And so now we've been able to align all those different interests with a really strong partnership with the local footy leagues and the TAC Cup, and everyone seems to have got behind, this idea of having football from, grassroots through community to elite all housed at the one location.
So $30 million project. Take us on a bit of a virtual tour, if you like, Matt, inside what we're going to see.
Well, probably first of all, as you come from the outside, Brett, this will be something which is, recognisable and approaches as being, a highly more visually and aesthetically pleasing than what's there at the moment.
Yeah.
We'd like to create almost like a town square kind of feeling to really embrace the redevelopment in broader Moorabbin. Then you'll have, the home for community football, with, undercover viewing areas for, local football as well as standalone VFL football. You'll have, retail and museums and cafes. And then you'll have, elite training facilities, aquatic recovery, gymnasiums and an indoor sports court, which will be shared with community as well.
What about in terms of the supporter demographics? Now, obviously, Moorabbin's been a spiritual home, but that Seaford area, whilst there hasn't been great sort of emotional attachment to it, you do have a lot of supporters from around there, don't you? So
yep.
It's a bit of a trade-off, isn't it? Do you risk sort of alienating some of them?
We don't plan for that. I guess one of the things that Seaford is, it's not particularly user-friendly in terms of its proximity to public transport or in terms of facilities for people who come along, and so that will change. But part of the work that we're doing with the local football and broader community down there is what the Linen House Centre can become, because obviously without it being used for AFL training day in, day out, it has much broader scope for use by different community interests and community sport. And so we've already, started talking about that with the Frankston City Council in terms of how that might become a training, education, development hub for sport of that southern peninsula part of the world.
Yeah, it's amazing. I was saying to Brett earlier, it's amazing how strong the identification with Moorabbin is. I mean, St Kilda played in St Kilda at the Junction Oval for, what, 65-odd years, went to Moorabbin, was only there for, what, 26 years?
Mm-hmm.
Went to Waverley, went to Docklands, but it's that 25-year period that everyone sort of focuses their emotional attachment with St Kilda to, don't they?
Yeah, well, I guess, you know, in 65, the club moved down there, you know, 50 years ago this year, played in the grand final, lost that to your boys at Essendon.
Gee, those were the days.
A year later, you know, 1966, the club wins its first and only premiership against Collingwood. And you know, that was won out of playing at Moorabbin. So, you know, and from then on, I guess, it just became a very special place, didn't it?
And the VFL side, the standalone side, that's going to be a key plank of this, isn't it, in terms of, you know, actual games that people can go and watch?
Yeah, I know that people want to come along and be able to watch footy at Moorabbin as well. So whilst there'll be, you know, the ability for people to come down and watch training and be able to go and watch, you know, the team playing when it's playing interstate on big screens and these kind of things, certainly the idea of being able to watch a team run around, watch the Saints at Moorabbin, is a big part of this. And, you know, we're seeing most AFL teams head towards that standalone position, and that's certainly part of our plans as well.
Matt, just one last one that we read today, just away from Moorabbin. Revolt set to lead Saints next season. According to Maverick Weller, who's in the leadership group, and he's clearly endorsed Nick to continue. Obviously, the players vote and they go through that process. It seems from the outside right now there's maybe not one particular player putting his hand up to take over from Nick Revolt, but clearly still a huge inspiration and leader for his teammates.
Yeah, he is. I had a chat with Nick on Thursday. He's in the last stages of his family time over there in Texas, and heads back just after Christmas. And he you know, can't wait to get back involved. And I think, you know, if anything, Nick's leadership only continues to grow. He's obviously had a remarkably difficult year personally this year, but I think everyone's respect for him has grown even more, if that was possible. And the players, as Mav said yesterday, are pretty keen to get him, you know, back in the fold too. So, look, he's a wonderful leader. We just spent some time this week with our younger players down at Cerberus, down there at with the Navy, and yeah, they were challenged in terms of starting to think about their own leaderships, but certainly Nick's doing a great job at the moment.
Looks like, from the pictures, looks like they might have just finished washing the mud off themselves, too.
They reckon they might be finding mud in places they didn't know they had to wait.
Exactly. Matt, really appreciate your time. Thanks, great Matt. News for the footy club today, and great luck for 2016. We'll talk soon.
Thanks for having me, guys.